Good morning. I'm glad you could be with us this morning. I want to share a message with you this morning, and I hope it cuts through and ministers to your heart this morning. The title of the message this morning is Filtering the Noise. And this message really came to me over some time here where I've been watching Frozen 2 probably between 20 and 30 times at the very least. You see, Frozen 2 is my granddaughter's favorite movie. She doesn't like Frozen 1, but she likes Frozen 2. So when Hannah comes to the house, she'll get her coat and stuff off and her shoes, and then she'll come and she'll stand, well, once she has food at least, she'll come and she'll stand beside my recliner. And she just stares up at the TV, or sometimes she'll stare up at the TV and then look at me and then stare up at the TV again, and sometimes look at me again. She's saying, are you going to put what I want to watch on TV? And so I'll ask her, what do you want to watch? And she'll either do one of two things. She'll either go like this, which means she wants to watch The Wiggles, which drives me crazy because I cannot stand watching The Wiggles. Or she'll stand there and she'll go, ah, or as best she can do that. And that means she wants to watch Frozen 2. So we'll put Frozen 2 on for her, and she'll crawl up beside Coach on the chair, and she'll sit for normally 5 to 10 minutes at least with me. And then the movie just continues to play in the background as she goes about being a little child. So I have watched this movie over and over and over again. But as I was watching it a number of weeks ago, God began to speak to me about something in the movie, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. But before I share the message, I just want you to watch this quick clip, and then I'll come back and we'll start into the message.
Give me something. Alarmed. Distracted. Worried?
I know you saw that clip. Now, in that clip, you see Elsa. If you haven't seen the movie, I'll give you a little explanation and background. Elsa, who is the Queen of Arendelle. And she begins, during the movie here in Frozen 2, to hear a voice calling her from afar. And she goes through the rest of the movie following that voice, sometimes to the good, sometimes to her detriment. But it is a Disney movie, so I'm not going to, a little bit of a spoiler alert here. It does have a happy ending. Again, it's a Disney movie. I'm assuming you could figure that out if you haven't already seen it. But Elsa hears this voice, and she follows it. And I believe, as I watched this one of these times, God said, that's how people are searching for my voice. People, especially believers, want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear God speaking to us, much the same way as Elsa wanted to hear this voice and see what it had to say to her. We want to hear God's voice in that way. And at least I hope you want to hear God's voice in that way. But oftentimes we as believers, there's a lot of noise going on that distracts us from hearing God's voice. We often get distracted or disturbed or completely hear a wrong voice because there's so much noise in our world. And what I want to get to look at today is that we as believers need to filter the noise that surrounds us in order to hear the voice of God speaking to us. We need to filter out all the distraction. We need to filter out all the wrong voices to hear the right voice. Kim and I really like to watch some of these crime shows and this and that. And I thought about this, I pictured where they've got a phone call or something and they're trying to pin the voice down for a court trial or whatever, and you see all this these wavy lines, and then they start to take the noise out using the computer until you've got one streamlined voice. Well, we need to do the same when it comes to hearing the voice of God. We need to streamline and hear His voice and His voice alone. If you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7, and verse 15 and 16 say this: Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? What I want us to understand today is there are many, many, many voices out there in our world who claim to be speaking for God. Or in some cases, they don't even claim to be speaking for God, but we tend to give them that place where we believe we're hearing from God in those voices. But we need to understand that there's a lot of false prophets in our society today. There's a lot of voices who are calling out and saying things and asking us to believe things that aren't true, that are actually not God's voice, but the exact opposite of God's voice. And those are the voices this morning that I want us to look at and understand how we can filter them out. We need to filter out the voice of the false prophet. And it's not as difficult as you think. It's not a big, tough thing to do. Because again, if our desire is to hear God's voice, then we need to hear His voice and not someone supposedly speaking on His behalf who is not speaking His voice in any way, shape, or form. We need to listen for God's voice and God's voice alone. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be led by some voice calling in the wilderness like Elsa was hearing in those clips. I want to hear from Almighty God. I want to hear from my Father. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. So my question today and my what I want to look at is, how do we listen for God's voice in the midst of all the noise that's going on around us? And that noise comes from all kinds of places, media, social media, any number of areas. And again, none of these things in and of themselves are bad. I'm not saying that at all today. But when we're trying to hear the voice of God, we need to be able to filter things. And so today we're going to talk about, how do we hear from God? How do we listen for God's voice? And there's three really simple ways that we can know if we're hearing from God. The first and most normal way, that's not a good way to put it. The first way God speaks to us, and the one that He speaks to us the most through, is God speaks to us through His Word. It's a pretty simple thing. God speaks to us through this book. These are His words. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, writers wrote down His words. The Holy Spirit is God. So those writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are writing down God's words to us. So we need to spend time in His Word. I've had this over the years so many times. People come to me and say, Pastor, how do I hear God's voice? And my first answer is always this: read your Bible. It's God's voice to us. It's the simplest way to hear God's voice. Let's take a look for a second at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says this: So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Well, where do we find the good news about Christ? In this book. This is where the good news of Christ is contained. This is where God's love letter to us, where He shows us and tells us about sending Christ to us, is contained. I don't need to be told that Christ was sent. I can read it for myself. I don't need to be told that Christ came and died on a cross to save me from my sins. I can read it for myself. Yes, we should still tell people. I'm not saying that at all. But we're telling them God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." You want to know if something in your life is right or wrong? Compare it to what the word says. The word is given to us to teach us, to equip us, to prepare us for life as believers. And finally, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It expresses our innermost thoughts, our innermost thoughts and desires." You see, the word of God, our Bibles, is not just a dead book. This is not like reading one of my favorites, but I'll use it. This is not like reading Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings isn't going to change your life or my life. It might be entertaining, which I believe it is, but this book, God's word, is actually a living thing that changes our lives. It cuts through and changes us. So you want to hear God's voice? Read his word. This is the main place you are going to hear God's voice as a believer. So why too often do we just not even pick this book up? For many of us, it's so easy to have the Bible at our fingertips now. You can put it on your phone, your device, your tablet, whatever number of things. I'm reading today God's word to you from my tablet because I have the Bible in there. If I had my mobile phone here with me, I have God's word in there. I don't even have to carry a physical Bible anymore. The Bible is with me at all times, and we have that technology, most of us at least. So let's read it. Let's pick it up. Let's use what God has given us. Technology can be a wonderful thing. It can be a horrible thing, especially when it doesn't work, and then we get angry. But use what God's given us to have his word at our fingertips. Secondly, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God still speaks to people today by his Spirit directly into our lives. That still small voice within us that comes to bring correction when we need correction. That small voice that sometimes says, "Don't go there," because Holy Spirit knows best. I look at it, we're all born with a conscience. But when we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, it's like putting our conscience on steroids. All of a sudden, our conscience is speaking to us so much more because it's not really our conscience speaking to us. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us and speaking into our lives. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." See, if we're Christ's sheep, if we're his followers, if he is our shepherd, we know his voice. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we should know that voice. There's ways of checking that, and we'll get into some of those more so as we get into the next way we hear God's voice. But again, Holy Spirit's not going to speak anything to you that doesn't align with God's word. If you're hearing a voice that is telling you something contrary to the word of God, it's not Holy Spirit. Just let me remind you that. As well, if we turn to John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us on his own. He speaks to us what comes from the Father. He speaks to us what comes from Jesus. And by the way, it says there, he will bring glory to me at all times. If the voice that you're hearing isn't bringing glory to God, isn't bringing glory to Jesus, again, not the voice of the Holy Spirit. And yes, the Spirit will tell us of the future. He will show us and lead us in paths for our future. But we need to listen for that voice. Just like a sheep in the wilderness or out on the countryside with its shepherd listens for its shepherd's voice, we need to listen for our shepherd's voice, which speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And finally, and this is the one I really wanted to concentrate on, and we'll get back to that false prophets verse I spoke of in the beginning. God speaks to us through people. Yes, God speaks to you and me through people. God has put people in your life and in my life to speak his words into us. That may be a close Christian friend. That should be your pastors. That could be a coworker who's a believer. It can be any number of people, but God still speaks to us through people. Now again, the main way God speaks to us is his word. That's the first thing we should look to. I find way too often we get lost in listening for the voices of people rather than listening for God to speak to us through people rather than listening to God speak to us directly. We should want God to speak to us through his word. We should desire for God to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And yes, God will speak to us through others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says this, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." See, God gave people in order to build up his church. God gave people to teach us his word. God put people there to do that job. And as long as they're lifting Christ up and they're equipping you for ministry, for the work God's calling you to do, because we all have a ministry to do, then we can listen to those voices as well. We should always test those voices. And again, what I want us to get to, and I think so many times we think those voices are greater than this book. Maybe because they're easier to understand. But they aren't greater, because they should be pointing us to the voice of God, his word. And we all have different giftings, and we all have different functions. And so sometimes he'll put people in our lives, friends, family members, fellow believers in your church. But he also has these gifts to speak into our lives. And yes, there are prophets today. But one thing I want to always tell us, when we're listening to these voices, we need to have discernment. We need to allow the Holy Spirit that's in us to tell us right or wrong. Especially when we're talking about the, and I use air quotes here because I'm not saying all people aren't this, but the prophets of today. Some of those prophets are not prophetic at all. Some of these prophets are more pathetic than prophetic. And yet there are good, godly men and women who are true prophets today. So I don't want to throw prophecy out the window here. I want us to understand that it does exist, but we must discern. And if we go back to our original scripture, how do we discern? We look at the fruit in those people's, those men, those women's lives. If there's no fruit in their life, if there's no fruit in their ministry, probably not a prophet. Makes sense? Makes sense to me. Again, scripture tells us back in Matthew chapter 7, judge them by their fruits, or you'll know them by their fruits. So if the prophet is telling you something that brings division in the church, if the prophet is telling you something that brings, that causes hatred or violence or any number of things that are completely and totally against Scripture, they're not a prophet. Or they're not a prophet to be listened to. They're a false prophet. I look and I see some of these things, and I see people that get do prophecy. And my older son, Elijah, he talks a lot about this. And 3-4 years ago, he would come to me and say, "Dad, this person says this or that. What should I believe?" And I would guide him and try to help him. But as he's gotten more into the Word, our conversations are becoming more, "Dad, this person said this, but it doesn't match Scripture. How is anybody stupid enough," and that's his words, "stupid enough or dumb enough to believe this?" I'm going to give you the easiest example. It's one that you can't argue with me, but people still do. But if the prophet is telling you he knows the date for the return of the Lord, shut it down right there. Why? Because the Bible says no one knows the time or the day. If the Word says no one's going to know, He's not going to tell somebody so that they can be a great prophet. It doesn't line up with the Word. Therefore, false prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10 say this: "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy." Let's step away from the prophet, the modern day prophet right now, and step into people who operate in special gifts, words of knowledge, wise advice, prophecy. These gifts are still around today for believers, and God gifts certain believers with certain of these gifts. And there's a whole greater list in what we see in Scripture. But I just want to concentrate on some of those special gifts. God gives people prophetic gifts, and they speak into our lives. But again, the same tests must take place. Test their fruit, discern the spirits. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not from Him. And I'm going to tell you, when it's personal like this, I have never experienced a word that anybody has given me that isn't something I already was dealing with the Holy Spirit already, something I already knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me about, speaking to me about. That's a great way to judge the Spirit when someone has a word for you. I got that even as I prepared this message. I was on Facebook one day and Rebecca, my daughter, mentioned Frozen 2 in some sort of comment on Facebook, and I just popped off a reply and said, yeah, like we haven't seen that, or something to that effect about how many times we've seen the movie. And I was just a kind of sarcastic comment. Well, a good friend of our family sent a reply back to me and said, "I'll bet you could prepare a message from that movie," not even knowing that I had already got it, already put this thought in my head. That was a prophetic word that this lady probably doesn't even realize she was giving a prophetic word as she typed into Facebook. But it was a confirmation to me of something God had already been speaking to me. And it was directed, as she's a believer, by the Holy Spirit, I believe. So again, as we close today, if you really want to hear the voice of God, you have to filter out all the noise. Filter out the false prophets. filter out the media, filter out all of this stuff that gets in the way of us hearing God. Get into His Word, study His Word, read His Word. As you go to read His Word, ask Him to speak to you through His Word. I never pick up my Bible to read without just a quick, God, speak to me. It can be that simple. God, speak to me. What's that? Four quick words? But I want Him to speak to me through His Word. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. You want to filter out that noise? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you directly. And then be open when the Holy Spirit speaks to you through others. Filter out the noise, and you will hear from God. I hope you enjoyed that message today. If you don't know Jesus and you say, I can't hear the voice of God, it's very simple. You just need to accept Him into your life. You need to just pray a simple prayer asking Him to forgive you your sins and to come into your life. And at that point, Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you. If you want help with that today, you can send us a direct message. If you're on Facebook, you can click the button if you're on our online site saying, I want to know more about Jesus. There's a button there. Or the easiest way is just text the word love to the church phone number at 416-267-1189, and we'll help walk you through that today.